to the Word of God. And let me introduce you to the preacher. Okay, here I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't take it lightly, all joking aside and picking aside, I don't take it lightly being up here behind this sacred pulpit. And it's something also I don't take lightly that Pastor would hand this over to me while he was gone. And while he's out, he would entrust me to be able to fulfill what God has put in my life to stand behind this sacred desk. It is very, 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 it is very important to me that I follow hard after God. And that the things that I said and the same things that I speak behind this desk are not my words, but they're God's word. Every time I get behind this pulpit, every time I get the opportunity to be able to talk or to preach or to teach or whatever, it's not something that I take lightly, and I pray that the Lord give me something that's not of me. That he speak the words through me, that it's his words that I deliver, and that I don't want to falter or fail on that. What an opportunity that I've been given to be able to stand up here behind this microphone and teach what the Lord has laid on my heart. The most important thing that I can do is spread the good news of the gospel. The most important thing that I will ever do in my entire life, it doesn't matter what degrees you have, it doesn't matter what degrees I have, it doesn't, or the lack thereof, because I didn't go to college. But the experiences that I have, the jobs that I've had, it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is who did I reach? What seeds did I sow? What talents did I bring forth for the master? And I'm not talking about the talent of playing a musical instrument, but what talents did I sow to others to bring forth the gospel to the people that I am around? I'm going to have the opportunity to reach people that you're not going to have. And you're going to have the opportunity to reach people that I will never reach. And that's how the gospel is spread. It's amazing to me that the gospel was spread back in the days. You don't think about it, but it was word of mouth. There was no Facebook. There was no followers. There was no Instagram or Twitter or any of those other accounts. There was no television. There was only word of mouth the way the gospel went out. The way the truth was preached, it was word of mouth. And how amazing it is to me that back 2,000 years ago, that without technology, people still heard about Jesus. People still heard the Lord is coming. Coming into the cities, you can't tell me that blind Bartimaeus had Facebook or telephone or one of these devices. But he heard it. He heard the word of God. And so, again, it is important to me to follow after what God has spoken to me today. Over the last few days, I've prayed and I've asked the Lord to give me some kind of direction to give to y'all. And I was able to pull over a few times at work into a parking lot and begin to type notes on my phone. I did not have time to go home and type them up, so they are on my phone. So if you see me up here on my phone, I'm not playing on my phone. I am following the few notes that I do have, okay? And so the Lord really spoke to me this. And as he was speaking to me, how many of y'all like songs? Songs on the radio. I love Enlighten. I love the station Enlighten. If you have like Sirius XM or whatever, occasionally it'll come on. It's old country gospel songs. Quartets. That's my go-to. I love quartets. I love to listen to quartets. And so, but in the listening of the music that I was listening to, this song came on from the Browns. It's a family. And as I'm writing my notes, to this exact song. And it's called My View from the Valley. And it really, really, really just impacted me. And so if I could, as I turn into the Word of God, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my title at the very beginning for the sound room. And my title would be Victory, My View from the Valley. Victory is my view from the valley. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 23. If you would stand for the reading of the word. Everybody knows this scripture at some sort of way in some kind of context. But I wanted to focus on verse 4. Psalms 23 and verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Again, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Moving forward to Psalms chapter 121. Again, a very familiar scripture. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." As I read this scripture, I can imagine the place of the psalmist. He's in the valley. Because there's only one way to look up to the hills. There's only one place that I can imagine you to be, is in a valley. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." That slumber is to be, I don't know if you've ever been, as you've been driving, you get a little sleepy. You're still kind of halfway awake, but you're kind of drowsy. That slumber is that drowsy. You don't serve a God that gets drowsy. You do not serve a God. There's not a God in this place that begins to sleep and not hear you. "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He's not going to get drowsy on you. He's not going to get sleepy on you. "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." If you put your Bibles down and let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the mountaintops, and we thank you for the valleys. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, and for your strength, and for your mercy, and for your long-suffering, God. I thank you for what you're going to do here tonight. I pray that you open my ears, that I may hear what the word of God has for me. That you open my heart, oh God, that I take in and I absorb these things. Lord, that I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, I'm asking you to move in this place, Lord, and I'm asking you to use us for your kingdom, for the advancement of your kingdom and for your glory. And everybody said in Jesus' name, and you may be seated. I'm going to be going to another verse of scripture, but it's kind of lengthy. I've learned if I talk too much, I'll start getting dry throat, and then I'll start coughing. So, believe it or not, I try not to talk too much. But only a few people caught that. So, God is good, isn't he? So, as I'm going through scripture and as I'm taking notes as God has given, is impressing me, valley is mentioned in scripture 153 times. The word valley in the Word of God is mentioned at some point, whether it be a war, whether it be a situation, whether it be a time, a place, whatever, that valley word is mentioned in Scripture 153 times. And in Israel, I take my place to back to the psalmist. And in Israel, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, there was a canyon there. There is a canyon there called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And I believe in his day, King David probably traveled through it many times. Thus, he referred to it in the 23rd Psalm. You know, some of the canyons along the Jericho Road were narrow. And at the bottom, they got smaller and smaller and smaller. And as you went down into this valley, they could be as deep as 800 feet. And the only time that when you got to the bottom of this valley of the shadow of death, the only time that you could see the sun or the moonlight was when it was straight overhead. You could not see sunlight or moonlight until it got directly over you. And so in the Bible, valleys are often mentioned metaphorically for difficult times, difficult seasons in somebody's life, a time of darkness, a time of despair, a time of defeat, a time of discouragement. So when the psalmist is writing, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," I began, as I was doing my studies into this, would be able to think that he was in a place where it was a tight spot, that the valley, the road got really, really narrow, and it got really, really tight, and it got really, really deep, and I'm going to say it even got really, really dark. And it was a dark place in this time where David, the psalmist, coined the words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The shadow of death, I don't know what it, I didn't look into that, I didn't indulge into that, I didn't have due to the sake of time, but I can imagine what he felt like as he walked through the valley, that at any moment, the darkness, he could die. And sometimes in our spirits, we feel that when we walk through a certain situation, and we go through a certain time in our life, that we feel like we're physically and or spiritually about to die. That we've done everything we can do, Brother Robbie, as I'm walking one step in front of the other and I'm trusting God. And it's dark. It's a dark time in my spiritual walk, and I'm having to really carefully feel after where I'm going so I don't trip up, so I don't fall. I don't know if you've ever fallen in the dark, but that's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to fall in the light, especially a big guy like me. I've fallen in the light a lot. But falling in the dark is a whole nother character because you can't see where you're falling. And you just better hope nothing's in the way as you're falling. And so I don't like in my spiritual life to get that way. I absolutely hate the dark times. But nobody's immune from it. At some point in time, there are three places in your life that you're going to be. You're either coming out of a valley, you're in the valley, or you're headed to a valley. Those are three places that you're guaranteed to be in any time, and any one of us in this place. Brother Jess, you may be on top of your mountain. But Sister Coley, you may be walking into a valley. Every one of us sit in the same church, under the same roof, in the same chairs, close to each other. But Brother Robbie, you may be coming out of that valley, and I may be walking into that valley. Or I may have found myself slap dab in the middle of one of the darkest places. And I'm a man, so I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to ask for directions because we don't do that. But I'm going to tell you, if I could plead with everybody in this place, that it's important to ask for help. It's important to say, I need, Brother Newman, I need you. I need you in my life. I need pillars that I can reach out to and say, I'm in a valley and I need somebody to grab a hold of. Brother Chad, I need you, brother. I need you to be there. When you're coming out of your valley, I'm going into a valley, I need somebody to reach out to and say, hey, pray for me. I need help. I need to be able to trust you to not go and say, you ain't never going to believe what Brother Colton's going through. I need to be able to rely on you. Brother Carson, I need to be able to trust you to say, when I need help, and I'm going through that valley, Brother Carson, you need to trust me. You need to be able to trust me and go, Brother Colton, without saying anything to anybody, I need your help. I'm reaching. I need a lifeline. And so, as the Lord was dealing with me about valleys, valleys are unpredictable. You don't know when they're coming. You don't know how far around the corner you are from one. They'll sneak up on you before you ever know it. Valleys are a part of everyday life. Every day, I could be faced with a valley. But I'm not the only one. Every day you're going to be faced with a valley. Or you could be faced. I hope you don't every day. I hope it's not a struggle every day. Because I'm telling you, living for God is wonderful. I'm going to go out and say, living for God is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I saw a sign the other day that says, the worst day fishing beats the best day working. Well, I can tell you, I'll go even further than that. The worst day in the house of the Lord beats the best day of fishing. I'm going to say it again. The worst day in the house of the Lord, Brother Riley, beats the best day fishing. I'd rather get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues every Sunday than be out on the lake catching the biggest bass. Or the biggest crappie, or the biggest catfish, or whatever it is you want to do. I would rather find myself in the house of the Lord. And so, the valley that we're faced with is not meant for us to stay in. Sometimes we get to a position where you're like, okay, I'm done. Been in this thing long enough. And you have an option and you have a choice to give up and to give in. Or to keep fighting. Or to keep going. Or to reach out. Call somebody and say, hey, I need help. And I know our pride, man, I'm telling you, our pride will get the best of us. It can and it will. And I might look at you every day, Brother Newman, and look at you in your face and never know that what you're going through. God may never reveal that to me. God may wake me up one morning and press me to pray for Brother Weaver. But he might not impress me to pray for Brother Jess. And Brother Jess is going through a valley, but Brother Weaver hadn't hit his valley yet. I just know that God impressed. So when the Lord stirs you in the morning time for a brother or a sister, pray for them. Make that flesh roll out of bed, because there ain't no getting out of bed for me. It's usually rolling. Roll out of bed Find a place on your knee and pray for a brother or sister. Because the valley is not made for us to stay there. Now, I never understood why the valleys were so, metaphorically spoken of as a place of frustration and irritation and a place where people, I never understood that because valleys are very pretty to me. Valleys can have some of the most beautiful water as the snow begins to melt off the mountaintops and it begins to flow through streams. And it begins, as the water flows downhill, the grass begins to grow and the flowers begin to bloom. And I never understood why valleys were such a place of despair and frustration. And I know y'all think I'm going somewhere with that, but I'm not, because I still don't know why that they're metaphorically spoken as a frustrating place. Because they're beautiful. But if you find your place in a valley, I encourage you not to stay there, because that's not where you're supposed to be. That ultimately there's a mountaintop that you're going to have to climb. I think the frustrating part for me would be climbing a mountain. Because that's when I get tired. I don't like to climb. Climbing up for a big guy is one of those things that I'm not interested in. I don't like heights. I don't like climbing. And so, I know there's victory coming. So I'm saying tonight, I want to go into 2 Kings. You don't have to stand. But I'm going into 2 Kings, and we're talking about Elisha. And 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 8, now, the king of Syria is frustrated with Israel. They don't like Israel at all. I think y'all, for those who study your word, know this story of the Bible. And so when you find yourself in a valley of despair or frustration or irritation, this is one of the stories that the Lord really laid on my heart when I was digging into this as I was taking notes. And so I told the Lord I was going to use this. And so it says, when the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians come down. So basically, long story short, the king of Syria is saying, I'm going to secretly set up camp against the Israelites in this place. And the Lord's coming to Elisha, and he's saying, hey, just so you know, this is where the king of Syria is setting up. And Elisha would go, and he would tell the king of Israel. And he would say, hey, just so you know, the Lord said, this is where the king is setting up. Don't go that way. And the men of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou not pass such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called a servant and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. He's a prophet. Calls him the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night, compassed the city about. And when the servant of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, having the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And so when I saw this scripture and the Lord gave this to me, the city that Elisha was in had to be in a valley. Because he said, when he opened his eyes, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the view where you are in your valley, I pray the Lord open your eyes that you see that they that are for you are more than they that be against you. The view from your valley should not be defeat. The view from your valley should not be to give up. The view from your valley, when you find yourself in your valley, should not stop and set up camp. It's not to stop and go, you know what? I'm good right here where I'm at. I'm just going to build a city, and this is just going to be, you know, this is just going to be where I sit. The view from the valley that you sit in and the view from the place that the Lord has you right now is not a place that he wants you to stay. But he wants you to open your eyes and he wants you to pray and say, God, open my eyes to see that there are more for me than there are against me. So the view from your valley should be victory. The view from the place that you sit when you are frustrated and irritated and you're spiritually frustrated should be, I'm going to look to the hills which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I can imagine Elisha have already seeing this and I've already heard this. I mean, the psalmist coined the words, but I can only imagine how many other men in the Bible had that same thought process and that same intuition of, I'm going to look to the hills which cometh my help. I'm not going to stay in the valley that I'm in. I can tell you, I am thankful for people that are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. When I was going through some frustrating times, I had people chase after me into the parking lot of this church in this very year and come after me and say, Brother Colton, is everything okay? And I would always say, yes, it is. And everything was okay. But there were still parts of that was not really okay. I thank God for people who are sensitive to the Holy Ghost who can come up to me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. Don't give up, because the view from your valley should be victory. The view from the valley that you're walking through should be victory. I'm closing. I'm not planning on being here all night. I was not planning on preaching very long a message, but I felt like something very important was to be given tonight, is the view from your valley should not be defeat, but victory should be your view from your valley. And in closing, I'm going to repeat the chorus of the song that led me to what God was, as I was writing what the Lord had spoke to me, then that song came on. The chorus says, my view from the valley won't cause me to fear. There should not be, I will fear, the psalmist wrote it, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So the view from your valley shouldn't cause you to fear. My eyes are on the hills, and my deliverance is near. It actually says clear. I just made that up. Sorry, my mouth speaks sometimes faster than my mind and my eyes. My eyes are on the hills, and my deliverance is clear. It's clear. There is no doubt of where my help comes from. It is clear evident. I can tell you right now, the servant of Elisha, when his eyes were opened, it was clear where his help came from. When his eyes were opened and he saw the chariots of fire upon the mountains and knew that there was more for him than there was against them. That there was something inside of them that he just, something about it that just gets you excited. So my eyes are on the hills and my deliverance is clear. This isn't where I'm meant to stay. My help is on the way. So I'll raise my hands and worship gladly, because victory is my view from the valley. If we could stand. When you get to that place in your valley, and you've looked up to the hills, which cometh your help cometh from the Lord. And while you wait for your victory, whether you're fighting a spiritual battle, whatever it is, that's the best time to worship. That's the best time to sing praises. And not just with a sorrowful heart like, oh, I praise the Lord, but gladly. I will worship gladly. I will worship gladly. I will sing praises to the Lord gladly, because it's clear what's going to happen. It's clear what's going on in my life. It's clear that there's victory coming. And so the valley is not where you're meant to stay, but victory should be your view from the valley. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord real quick in prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the victory that you've given us in our valleys. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. God, I'm asking you for those, any one of us that is going through a valley, God, I'm asking you to open their eyes and to see that there is more for them than those that be against them. And I'm asking you that you show them their victory in their valley. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we continue to advance your kingdom. Watch over us and protect us in these storms. And as we travel home, go with our pastor and pastor's wife, or as they're traveling, and keep them safe. Lord, we give you praise for what you're doing in our lives. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. You're dismissed this evening. And go in God in victory. Let's go to heaven together.